There's also the issue that if you're angry, it causes you to become red, and it's like shedding blood. It's like the thing of Aesop, the story of there, and so it's, you know, the blood rushes to your head. It's like angry, and it causes violence, and it's actually like you're like killing somebody. So I think that's very, very frowned upon.
Right, so the face turning red and the killing someone is actually with the embarrassing them publicly. But right, when you get angry, there is like a loss of control. And many times, and I can speak from experience, we don't necessarily do the things that we're most proud of when we're angry.
Or say,
there is a distinction between feeling angry and acting on it or showing any external signs of it. You know, what about feeling angry? Is that something we're not supposed to do? We're not supposed to act out on it.
Right. But is feeling it, it's certainly not as bad as acting out on it, but is it something that we view as beneficial or something we want to avoid?
I think feeling angry is a clue to your emotions that something isn't right, so I don't think there's anything wrong with feeling it.
Right, so it can be a way of expressing emotions instead of keeping them bottled up. Because you know, we can control our emotions to a certain extent, but you know we're all human. So I think, Riley, you're continuing on the point of acting out of anger. That maybe, if I understand correctly, maybe you're saying it's if you are angry, so maybe sometimes it's worthwhile, at least for yourself, to express it.
I just want to throw something out. That is that when we're talking about anger in virtually all cases, what we're really talking about is not anger, it's power. And anger is bad enough on its own, but power is a lot worse than just anger.
And you think that anger is sometimes a way of asserting power?
I think at this point, in terms of historicity, it's synonymous. They're parallel.
That those who act angrily do it to assert their power.
Right, it's a matter of asserting power.
Okay. I think many times that issue, and they're definitely related.
What was righteous anger?
So that was Paul. You said righteous, saying a righteous indignation.
Righteous indignation. I mean, if we didn't get angry and incensed about what Hitler was doing in Europe, we wouldn't have gone and fought, lost so many lives.
Right. That's an excellent point. It's sometimes, in order to wake up or in order to do something, need to be angry about something. Maybe there are things that we should be angry about. I think your example of Hitler in Europe, I mean, that's for sure. Anyone who's not angry about that, you know, is definitely lacking in their sensitivity. So these are all true. So I want to take a look at...
Can I just make one comment?
Of course.
Anger could also be a motivator, because it's a motivate, say you're passed over for a position or a role in a play or something. You get angry, that will motivate you to work harder, so next time you will get that position or you'll be recognized.
Right, it could be a self-motivator, right? Whether or not it's ideal, but you're right, it could be, and maybe even jealousy can be a self-motivator. You know, like the Gemara says, kina sofrim tar bechachma, that the jealousy among scholars increases wisdom. Is that sometimes, you know, sometimes you're motivated when you see someone else being successful and you want to be successful as well. Right. So these are all good points. And like with any of these emotions, life is complex, is diverse. There are many situations to begin in. So with many of these emotions, there's not a necessarily all the time type of approach we have to have. But I wanted to take a look at just the general approach to anger, and maybe cases where it would be appropriate to be angry or to act angrily, and then how one balances the line between anger that's inappropriate and anger that may be productive. So in the chat, I'll share the source for anyone who wants to download it, and also share my screen. here we go. Now it's in the chat, and I will share the screen. Okay. Everyone see it in the chat who wants and can see it up here? Excellent. Okay. So we see any indications in Torah sources that anger is an emotion and the behavior that comes from it that we want to avoid basically at all costs. And it seems like one should, in fact, be an extremist, right? Generally, we don't view extremism as the ideal. But we'll see, the Rambam indicates that when it comes to anger, one should be an extremist as far as endeavoring to avoid it. And it's really an exception to the general rule which he says above in source one. Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, where he discusses different the character traits and advisable behavior, he says, Shtei kitzvos harachokos zumi zu, shebechol deo v'deo eina derech tova, be'in roi lo la'adam lechaz behem lo l'lamdan la'atzmo. That the two extremes, the two poles of each trait, which are at a distance from one another, do not reflect the proper path. It is not fitting that a man should behave in accordance with these extremes or to teach them to himself. And that could be any other emotions, whether it's, as we saw last week, whether it's happiness, whatever it may be. A person shouldn't be an extremist. A person shouldn't lean towards, express one emotion in a way that compromises others and in a way that's too pronounced. Person should, I think that's in general what we view as kind of normal people. You know, someone who expresses a certain emotion excessively, even if it's a positive emotion, let's just say it's joy. If someone is singing and dancing 24 hours a day, so it may be better than being very sad, but it's still, you know, probably not the most productive, that we behave in a tempered way, in a measured way. And the Rambam continues, Imotza tivo no tela achas mehen, if he finds that his nature inclines towards one of the extremes, let's say extreme happiness or extreme sadness, mukhan lachas mehem o shekvar lamin achas mehem v'nagubo, or he's become accustomed to acting in a certain way, Yaksir atzma lamuta v'yelach b'derech hatovim hi aderech hayishara. That he should endeavor to go back to the middle path. And the Rambam says that may even require acting somewhat extreme in a certain manner. You know, it's like if someone has an addiction or the like, that they, you know, quit cold turkey. And sometimes it's necessary, but the end goal of any trait, the Rambam says, is the middle path. Is everything should be with proper measure. But when it comes to anger, the Rambam says that we should be extremists. Look at source two. The Rambam says, "V'yesh deyos she'aser lo la'adam linhog b'hem v'beinonis." There are some temperaments that it's forbidden to follow the middle path. Ela yisrachik min hakatze echad ad hakatze ha'acher. Rather, you should move away from one extreme and adopt the other. Right? You have to, when avoiding anger, it's not, the Rambam is saying, as opposed to other types of traits, you shouldn't have moderate anger. I think we can see, right? It's very hard to keep anger moderate, whatever that would look like. But you should keep very, very far away from anger. And he says, the second paragraph, V'chein hakas mida rahi ad lema'ot, that anger is an exceptionally bad quality. V'roi la'adam l'yisrakim imenu ad akatsa acher, and it's fitting for a person to distance himself from it to the other pole. And he should accustom himself not to get angry, even when it is fitting to get angry. So that actually does sound kind of extreme. You know, we even acknowledge that there are cases where it's appropriate to get angry. Either it's appropriate to get angry because let's say there's an injustice that was done that's deserving of being angry. Or, you know, as Nathan said, somebody's getting angry could be a self-motivator. Maybe there are some cases where your anger may be productive or may be appropriate or natural. But the Rambam is saying that even in cases where it may be appropriate to be angry, where it may be fitting to be angry, person should accustom themselves not to get angry. And the Talmud, in fact, compares anger to idolatry. Now, why is anger like idolatry? And idolatry is one of the three sins for which one would have to give his life rather than transgress. It's really what we consider the worst type of sin. So why is anger compared to idolatry?
Maybe because if you're angry, then you're saying something about your fellow man who was created in the image of God. And you've got to behave civilly towards any person, even if that person could have hurt you very badly, right? You have to remember, maybe it's God's will that whatever happened to you happened to you.
Ah, so I think there are two things. One, that if you have anger or even the way you present it, even hatred towards a person, it's really denying God's hand in creating that person, that other people are God's creations, and we should appreciate that at least insofar as they were created by Hashem. But the second part is, if someone is in a situation and they're angry, so maybe they're not acknowledging or appreciating the fact that Hashem somehow allowed them to be in that situation. Right? If I'm angry about something, maybe I'm denying the fact that I'm in this place because God arranged it to be so.
Rabbi, this is, the other point is that, you know, that when you think of God, you know, he's quick to anger, slow to anger and quick for mercy. And so, in other words, getting angry shows that you don't have that patience level, or that tolerance, and you're becoming very, it's really the antithesis of what God's qualities are.
Right, and we're supposed to imitate God, and in getting angry, we're doing the opposite, especially if we're very prone to anger. So the Talmud makes this comparison. Look at source 3. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shum Kilfa bar Agra, Shamar Rabbi Shum, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Hamikare begada bechamaso, someone who tears his clothing as an expression of anger, grief, Mishaber Kalav bechamaso, or he breaks utensils in his rage, Mefazer Maosa bechamaso, or he scatters coins in his rage, Yebe Nechaka Oved Avodazara, should be in your eyes like an idol worshiper. Shekach Uanuso Shel Yitzhahara, because this is the craft of the evil inclination. Because, and the Gemara continues that, and this could be why the Rambam says you have to be an extremist, because anger, it's very easy for anger to spiral out of control. It says, Hayom Omer Lo Asekach, today the inclination says to do such and such. Lamaka Omer Lo Asekach, and the next tomorrow he says to do something else. Achi Omer Lo Avodavodazara. Until the evil inclination, the one that's provoking this anger, is going to tell you to worship idolatry. Right? Someone's so angry, they're not thinking about principles, they're not evaluating their actions, and they're just giving into their Yetzer Hara. And if they keep on giving into the Yetzer Hara is going to take them down the most negative path they could possibly go. And Amar Rabbi Avin said, Maikra, what is this? What's the verse upon which this concept that someone who gets angry is like someone who worships idols? What's that based on? Lo yevecha el zar lo yishtachavel el nechar. Quotes from Tehillim, there should not be a strange god within you, and you shall not bow to a foreign god. Ezehu el zar, who is this foreign god? Beguva shel Adam. Have Omar ze Yetzahara. That's the Yetzahara, the foreign god. One, he's serving that inclination, right? The inclination is requiring a certain service of him. It's telling him to get angry. So he's acquiescing, he's serving that inclination. And he's letting that inclination dictate his actions as opposed to allowing the Torah to dictate his actions. And if we say that the foreign god is the Yetzirah, so he's also serving himself. So they said someone who gets angry is serving things other than God. And if you look at source 4 of Aaron Lichtenstein, explained it as follows. He says, anger is dehumanizing. It expresses a loss of self-control. Instead of a person being the master of his passions, he has become their slave. This is why it is if he has worshipped idols. Idolatry means handing over control to something else. Right? We're saying, even if we believe that God is in control, but we worship something else, we're saying something else has power, and I have to in some ways be subservient to it or do its will. And this theme is also present in the Gemara Nedarim in Source 5. Says that similarly, someone who gets angry will compromise his relationship with God, and really the divine presence's presence in his life. Gemara says in Source 5, that someone who gets angry, even the divine presence is not important to him. Right? We forget what's important to us when we get angry. Shamar Rasha Kidoba Po, quoting from Tehillim, a wicked man at the height of his anger, Bal Yidros Ein Elohim Kol Mizimosah. So he basically says he will not seek. There is no God, say all of his thoughts. Right? When you get angry and someone said, oh, well, maybe Hashem put you in this situation. No. You're right. You're not. When you get angry, you forget about God. Maybe you even will deny God. And things that are normally important to you now become unimportant. Right? He's assuming someone is a believer in God. But when they become angry, it says even the divine presence isn't important to them. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Biyadua Shavonasav Merubin Mizachuyosav. And with regard to one who gets angry, it's acknowledged that his sins are more numerous than his merits. Shenemar Uval Chema Rav Pasha. And a wrathful man abounds in transgression. So he's like, when someone's angry, they're going to forget the truth. They're going to forget that Hashem is there, even what the things that are important to them become unimportant, and similar to the idea of being an idolater, now they're really beholden to a different value system. They've abandoned the value system that Hashem prescribed. And also, anger can be corrupting. It can corrupt one's character to the point where if someone gets angry frequently, it could become their defining characteristic, which of course is very unfortunate. Sometimes, well, I'll ask you first, do you think it's true? Do you think people's true colors come out when they're angry? Or is that not their true colors? You can really view it both ways. Either their true colors come out when they're angry, or when they're angry, it's really someone else, but their true personality is expressed when they're not angry. But the Talmud says in Surah 7, says Bishlosha Dvarim Adam Nikar, and three matters a person's true character is ascertained. Bikoso, when he drinks in his cup, ubechiso, with his wallet, Uvakaso, and with his anger, reading maybe how he acts when he gets angry, but even to the extent to which he avoids anger.
I'm sorry.
Right here, it's in source 6. That sometimes you see, this seems to assume, that you see how the true nature of a person when they're, either maybe when they do get a little bit annoyed or when they're in a situation that anger may be a normal response, you see how they act. So it really becomes something that defines a person. And unfortunately, there are people who are known as angry people. And it's not something that is generally too complimentary.
I'd like to ask a psychologist the extent to which people have control over something like temperance. I really don't know to what extent a person provoked, for example, can control that. I mean, if someone is really outrageously rude or something and obnoxious beyond words, I mean, there are times when it seems that there has to be some kind of reaction. They're suggesting that you can control that, and I guess that's true.
Right, so it's, I think it is suggesting that ideally a person can, and we'll see at the end some practical tips that are given. But it sounds like from what we saw the Rambam said, that even in source 2, that a person should teach himself, says vilamed atzmo, he should teach himself not to become angry even when it's fitting to become angry. So it sounds like it requires preparation. That you train yourself, you develop a certain personality that doesn't get angry even when provoked. It's very hard, but it seems to assume that it's possible. And I think that it's a basic part of maturity, right? When we were younger, young kids get annoyed when they can't get dessert. You know, now we're able to at least control that however much we want it, because we trained ourselves. And I think we trained ourselves. We now have a broader perspective of what's important, and so we don't get angry about certain things. So I think it is something that we see we are able to do. The question is, do we try, and also do we acknowledge that it's probably easier to train yourself not to be annoyed when you don't get dessert as opposed to other things. So Warren mentioned a message in the chat, fighters in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. So they must have been motivated, at least partly, I would suggest, significantly by anger, which aided in their self-preservation. So their anger was perhaps necessary. Also, it could be different, and he suggested it could be different in wartime. Right, so there's certainly situations where, and we'll see, even in the Torah, mentioned certain situations where it is appropriate to get angry. And I think that would be, that would certainly be one of them. Mike, you raise your hand?
No, you were. I just would like to put forward that I believe that but for the fact that God acts through anger many, many times in the Torah, there would be no concept that anger is acceptable. But for God's actual actions, such concept would never be acceptable anywhere, just as a matter of human activity.
Right. So as I mentioned before, the discussion about how Hashem, who's limitless and perfect, could have any emotions, it's a broader one. I'll just say briefly, because Ian Charlie had asked, that the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim basically says that it's not that Hashem gets angry because he's provoked and has a lack of control, or even that he's appeased because he's somehow made weak, that he can't resist being bestowing goodness. But God, in his infinite power and perfection, will sometimes present himself in certain ways that look to us like the emotions we experience.
But with the greatest of respect, I do not accept that at all. Because even if you say that, and it's totally metaphor, even if you say that God's, the references to God are totally metaphor, it doesn't change anything. That is the metaphor.
Because he still behaves. Okay. I definitely hear it. I could send out my source sheet from that cheer that he gave last year about that. It's just a whole other discussion. So I just want to limit it now to human anger.
No problem.
But if you remind me, I could send you that source sheet because we did touch upon it.
I'm not trying to make a comment about God or on God or to criticize God. It's just that I'm saying that, but for that hint there in the Torah, such concept would be utterly unacceptable in society.
Maybe I misunderstood. So you're saying that people wouldn't be angry if it wasn't for God, or just the concept of God being angry, we could never say it if it wasn't written?
The latter.
The latter. Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. But I think that's definitely true. That to describe God, any emotions, regret, anger, even being appeased, right. I think if the Torah hadn't said it, you know, we wouldn't, you know, theologically have a right to say it.
I mean, the Torah is the cradle of foundation. The cradle of civilization. It is. You can't argue with that, and what God is doing that all the time. I'm not trying to be facetious, but repeatedly, it makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. Another negative consequence of anger is mentioned in particular in the realm of education. Right? An angry teacher, what does that do to students? In the source 8, the Orcha Sadiqim, quoting from Pirkei Avos, says, the mission of Pirkei Avos says, Lo hakapdan melamed, that someone who's very particular or impatient shouldn't be a teacher. Why? Kimirov kaso hatamidim yireyim mimenu lishol sveko sehem penikas aleha, because in his great anger, or knowing of his great anger, the students will be afraid to ask them any questions they have, lest he become angry with them. Even if they ask him, he won't have the heart, he won't have the personality to be able to explain it to them to the extent that they need. Right? You know, a teacher has to be very patient with the students, even repeating things over and over again. But someone who's very impatient won't be able to teach his students, and his students won't ask questions. Or he'll answer questions in anger, and through that, the students won't understand it.
So, Rabbi,
I just want to say, also, a similar concept is mentioned, particularly with the husband and wife, that mentioned that a husband shouldn't be create an environment of fear with his wife, particularly in the realm of Taras Mishpacha, because then, if you know, God forbid, a wife is afraid of her husband, so maybe she'll say, let's say she went to the mikvah or something like that. So it really creates a breakdown. You see, affects detrimentally the whole institution of Torah learning. But even with halachic observance, it becomes a very dangerous thing, because then people will, you know, people in an effort to avoid someone's wrath, they may even transgress the Torah. Sorry, Charlie, you were going to say?
So we're really talking about somebody then who is angry many times over a period of time, as opposed to somebody who's angry infrequently.
Right, so this is, the Rambam, and actually the Gemaras that we saw, don't necessarily indicate that we're talking about someone who's, you know, habitually angry. But certainly in the extreme, we see that if someone is habitually angry, the consequences are graver.
Well, that's probably true for any emotion.
Yeah, which is why the Rambam says in general, you should strike the balance. But with anger, he indicates that you really should never get angry, seemingly. But certainly getting angry frequently is worse. But the question is, ever? The Rambam seems to indicate that you should never get angry. At least the type of anger that we've spoken about so far. So now, what about anger for God? And by extension, we'll include some of the cases that were mentioned. Anger at injustice or righteous indignation. Is that good?
Pinchas.
Uh-huh. Okay, so great introduction. If you look at source 8, the Torah tells us, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Pinchas the son of Elazar, son of Aaron HaKohen, Heijiv es chamasim al b'nei Yisrael, he turned my anger away from the children of Israel, and by zealously avenging me from among them, that I did not destroy them in my zeal. And therefore I give him my covenant of peace. So Jesus say that Pinchas, it uses, so I just want to note when it speaks about Pinchas, and for that matter Hashem's anger, so it uses the light, it says bekano or kinasi, use language of either we translated it as zeal, but also sometimes means jealousy. So I use it in the sense of anger because there's an angry quality, but it's not, it doesn't use the word kas, which we've seen so far. Also, the question is, do I think Pinchas acted out of anger? So let's see. What do you think? Do you think Pinchas acted out of anger? And if not, what did he act out of?
It reminds me of Moshe Rabbeinu, who saw the men being beaten, and he looked both ways and he could see no man, and so he acted. And Pinchas reminds me of that because there was an outrage going on in front of Moses, and nobody was doing anything, so he felt he had to act. So I'm not sure it was anger, and if it was anger, it was righteous.
Right. So with Moshe, it doesn't indicate anything about him being angry. But with Pinchas, again, it doesn't use the word kas, which we've used until now. But it says, Bekano es kinasi besocham. Bekano, by him zealously, meaning with his zeal. And it says, the locally says Bnei Yisrael, so that's referring to Hashem. But it says Bikano. It says that Pinchas acted in zeal. So it does indicate that there was at least some, whether that's jealousy, zealousness, or anger, it does ascribe some sort of emotion or catalyst to his action, which seems to have tempered Hashem in whatever way we can understand him having these emotions, Hashem's zeal.
But zeal is also an extreme.
It's an extreme, and there's an element of anger, meaning it may be more focused towards a cause, but the question is, if there's a certain element of anger, is this justified? So we'd said that if someone sees an injustice, so that it seemingly is appropriate to be angry, and that's what many explain, or generally understood that's what motivated Pinchas. Look at source 9. The Shla commenting on Parshas Pinchas says, "Mizeh yimod ha'adam shikane es kinas Hashem tzvakos." For this we learn, not only was it justified, but we should learn that a person should feel God's zeal. Because Sheroa Ezechil Hashem, when he sees a desecration of God's name, O Chil HaTorah, or a desecration of the Torah, Ra Ezechlo Hashem Yizbarak Tova, the Kanos Ubri Shalom. So you should see what he should... A person should be outraged by seeing a desecration of God's name or desecration of the Torah. And we see from Pinchas that he was rewarded for feeling this and for acting upon it. But here's something that we have to be very careful about. It seems clear that this is at least sometimes considered positive, being angry and feeling something, not just being apathetic when we see a desecration of God's name. But it's something we have to be very careful about. One, we have to be careful about what type, if it will accomplish the goals that we want. And the goal, the Pinchas, was to create shalom and to restore the glory of God's name. And we also have to be very careful about our motivations. Are we really angry for the honor of God? Or are we angry because, you know, maybe there's something that we don't like, something that annoys us? So is it really for God, or is it sometimes about us? But so what does it mean to be, to feel that sense of anger or strong emotion from a desecration of God's name, from the Torah being violated? So there's a story about Rav Aryeh Levin. Rav Aryeh Levin was, there's a book about him called Tzaddik in Our Times. He lived in Yerushalayim. He was a big tzaddik. He's known as the prisoner's rabbi in the British Mandate period. He would go to the prisons on Shabbos morning and really be an inspiration to the prisoners. He was really known as the pinnacle of just kindness. And there's a story that in Yerushalayim, there was a person who would always open a store, make it a point to leave a store open on Friday, even after Shabbos entered. And Rabbi Levin felt it wasn't for any Jew to have their store open on Shabbos. It wasn't correct. It was a violation of the Torah, but especially in the holy city of Yerushalayim. So one Friday afternoon, he went to the store as this guy was opening up for the night shift. And, you know, let's say it was about an hour before Shabbos. So here he was, he came, he was dressed in the Yerushalmi garb, his shtreimel, his Shabbos finest, and he was waiting outside the store. And then, as Shabbos was, he didn't say anything, and he saw that there were a lot of people lined up going into the store and buying things, and it was clearly a very busy time for business. So right before Shabbos entered, he went up to the store owner, and he said, you know, for some time I really wanted to give you a rebuke. And I don't approve of you keeping your store open on Shabbos. It's a violation of the Torah. We're living in Yerushalayim. And I really wanted to say something to you. But before I approach you, I wanted to understand where you're coming from. And now I see that this time of day, going into Shabbos, is a very, you're doing a lot of business, and now I have somewhat of an appreciation of the challenge that it would take to close your store. But what can I do at Shabbos, and I have to give you a rebuke? So you see, he was someone who was clearly pained. He was pained by it and wanted to give a rebuke, but he wanted to do it in a way that would be heard, and there was only, and he wanted to do it for the sake of God's honor and not a said sense of anger towards the person. And that's a fundamental distinction. There's an anger for the action and anger towards the person. And so here he tried to understand where this person was coming from, but nevertheless was pained by it and felt that he had to give rebuke. There's actually another story. It's just similar to show how there are some people who are so pained by when they see the Torah being violated. There's a story that when Rabbi Beryl Wein was speaking in Miami, so he was saying over a story that he heard, that there was a boy in the yeshiva in Radin, where the Chafetz Chaim was the head of the yeshiva, and he was caught smoking on Shabbos. So the yeshiva was going to expel the boy. So Chafetz Chaim said, before you expel him, I want to talk to him. So Rabbi Wein said he heard the story was, he went in to speak with the Chafetz Chaim, and then from then on, he was a Shomer Shabbos. So But, and Rabbi Wein said, you know, I wish I knew what the Chofetz Chaim said to him. You know, he was someone who was clearly, you know, rebelling against the system, wasn't interested. And then after he emerged from the Chofetz Chaim's room, now he was ready to keep Shabbos. So when he, after Rabbi Wein finished speaking, so there was an old man who had been sitting in the lecture and came up to him and said, I want you to know, I was that bacher. So Rabbi Wein said, what did the Chofetz Chaim say to you? You know, it must have been something, you know, if only I could know what he said to you, maybe I could inspire other people. So he said, Chofetz Chaim didn't, when I went into his room, he didn't say anything. That he grabbed my hands, he held them, and he started to cry. And he said, it's Shabbos, that's all he said. And he said, I could still feel the warm tears on my hands. And that's what made an impression on him. So you see, someone who's, there are people who are so pained by seeing the Torah being violated, but you see that the goal is to try to improve the situation. And also that anger, even if there's a behavior of anger, it's not a goal in and of itself. In source 10, the Nitziv says that as a reward for Pinchas, meaning Pinchas got Hashem's stamp of approval for that one action, but as a reward, Hashem helped him that in the future he would always be calm and act with serenity, and that this experience wouldn't cause him to be an emotional failure, for him to now be an angry person. So this was, in a sense, his reward. Because he acted sincerely for Hashem's honor, Hashem rewarded him by allowing him to be calm and to not have to act like that in the future. So you see that even zealotry that's needs to be carried out with a certain amount of anger or even violence is only temporary. And it's only if it's a last resort. But it's not an end goal. In fact, the reward for someone doing that, really for the sake of heaven, is that he will be allowed to not be angry. And we see how careful, even with anger that's for all the right reasons, but how careful we have to be. And we see this from the end of Eliyahu's career. Right? The Medrash says that Eliyahu is Pinchas. They shared the same neshama. And Eliyahu was a zealot. He was angry at the people. He was a zealot for God. And even though he was very sincere, then there is no doubt about that, at a certain point in his career, Hashem told him, you know what, it's done. I need someone else to be my primary prophet. And in one of the later encounters between Hashem and Eliyahu, so Eliyahu says, basically after Eliyahu had rebuked the people harshly or had spoken negatively about the people, and also almost using the same language the Torah uses about Pinchas in source 12, remember, Kanoki Nasi Lashem, I have been a zealot for God, meaning I'm like Pinchas, or maybe I am spiritually very similar to Pinchas. For they, ki azu rischa b'nei Yisrael es mizbechotzecha, because the Jews have abandoned your covenant, they've broken your altars, they killed your prophets. But Hashem is telling him, basically, he says, what are you doing here? And he's defending himself by saying that he was zealous for God. And he said, because the people, look how they transgressed your Torah, right? Aren't we supposed to be so upset when God is dishonored? Right? That seems to be legitimate. But we have to make sure that it's really for God's honor and that we're not being, you know, frommer than the Pope. Because in source 13, Eliyahu is defending Hashem. He's saying that he was a zealot for God. But the Medrash says that Hashem says to him, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Eliyahu, Brisi Shema Brisecha, you're complaining that they violated my covenant? Maybe it's your covenant that they violated, so to speak. Maybe you're upset because maybe they offended you. You know, are you really so angry for my sake? Or are you angry, or is there some personal interest there? Keep in mind, this is Eliyahu HaNavi. But even still, it shows how careful you have to be with getting angry, let alone acting on anger, but even with getting angry. Are you really angry for God, or is there some self-interest? So Pentecost may be the exception, but even with someone like Eliyahu HaNavi, you still have to ask the question, is it entirely for God? And based on this, after Hashem realized that this was Eliyahu's approach, as sincere as it was, he then arranged that Elisha would succeed him, and Elisha would be the prophet who would now relate to the people. And the Malbim explains very beautifully that Hashem wanted to show Eliyahu that God is not to be found in the wind, earthquake, and fire, but only in the voice of silence. And from his messengers should learn the lesson not to make a loud noise or burn like a fire, as did Eliyahu in his zeal for God, in his cessation of the rain, and his execution of the prophets of Baal. Right, he performed these miracles that actually had at least a momentary impact on the people. Rather, God sends his messengers to approach the people with a quiet voice, to persuade the nation with bonds of love and gentle words. And again, there could be an anger or legitimate objection to what people are doing, but the goal, as we saw with Pinchas, the goal is peace, is to have the covenant of peace. So we see that a prophet's approach, anyone's approach who wants to correct a problem, maybe there are things that they should legitimately be angry about, but they also have to think, what method is going to be most effective? And this is a principle that we find in Koheles. In source 16, Dibra Chachamim Benachas Nishmoin. I think a very good, valuable lesson for life. The words of the wise are heard when spoken softly. Right? If you want to, even if you're having an argument with someone, you want to convince them of something, yelling never helps. I don't say never helps, but most of the time doesn't. You want to have any chance of convincing someone, speak gently, speak calmly, explain your position. Because Shlomo HaMelech is telling us that's how the words will be heard. Not to getting to the shouting match. It is better than Izakas Moshel Bixilim, more than the shout of a ruler of fools. So what do you want to do if a stern approach may be effective? And sometimes it is. Right? Sometimes you have to speak, it says Benachas, very calmly, but sometimes you're not going to get an effect unless you display some amount of anger or strictness. So the Orchos Tzaddikim, based on the Gemara, says, as was mentioned before, that someone who wants to refrain from anger as is appropriate, but wants to, sometimes you need to cast a certain amount of awe on your children. Not frighten them, but sometimes you need to show that you mean business. So it says, if someone wants to cast a reasonable awe upon his children, upon his household, or if he's a leader of the community and wants to display anger towards the community in order that they should improve their conduct, right, you have to be careful, but sometimes if there's a problem, you need to tackle it with a stern type of demeanor. So what should he do? He says, he should appear to them like he's angry in order to rebuke them. But himself, he shouldn't be angry. And this is, in all the books about raising children, they always say, okay, sometimes you need to be stringent, but you can't be angry. And if you discipline your children, you shouldn't do it out of anger. It can be hard to do. You can present an angry appearance, but really, you should do it you should be very calm and do it out of principle. And it's a very different type of punishment, I think. If a parent punishes just because they're angry, or they punish because, in principle, they think the child needs to learn a lesson. So he acknowledges that there are times where a person needs to present a certain type of appearance, but it should be measured. Inside, a person should be calm. They should only present that that demeanor outside. However, you have to still be very careful. It says, Yizara lav shelo yaseh kein sheyesh lo or chamanim. You should be careful about acting angrily when there are poor guests present, game seburim shehu koes aleihem, because they'll think that you're angry with them. So this is like, not limited to poor people per se, but people who are vulnerable, people who are very sensitive, right? If you're going to get angry, there's, you know, for a teacher or for a parent, sometimes you have a student who's very sensitive, and then maybe you didn't mean it for their own good, and maybe you wanted to teach a lesson, but the student may take it in a way that you didn't intend. So people who you know are sensitive or vulnerable, even the presenting the stern demeanor has to be done with a lot of caution, and maybe isn't advisable. Yeah, because it'll hurt them, and it'll accomplish the opposite of what you want to accomplish. So now for conquering anger. Is it possible? If so, how do we do it? So the Rambam says, and again, he's presenting sort of an extremist approach to avoiding anger. It says in Source 18, Kate said, what's the remedy? How are they to be healed? Mishu Balkema Omrim Lo Lahanhig Atzmo Shim Huka Kula Lo Yargish Klal. We tell the wrathful man to train himself to feel no reaction, even if he is beaten or cursed. He should act like this. He should train himself to become immune to insult or injury until this becomes his manner, until the feelings of anger are uprooted from his heart. And the Gemara says that someone who is insulted and doesn't respond, you know, can give a blessing. That it's a very difficult thing to do, at a very high level. But we see that this is an ideal. Someone insults you, don't respond, don't let it affect you. Easier said than done. Rav Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, said that it's more difficult to change or correct a mita, a character trait, than to finish the entire Talmud. It's very, very hard. But the Rambam is saying that this is the goal. That really we should train ourselves not to be angry, even if someone slights us. I think the difference between this and the zealousness that we spoke about earlier is that one is insulting us and one is insulting God. We should be sensitive when people insult God, but for us, as much as we're able to, you know, we ignore it. And he says in Source 19, "Lefichach tzivul yisrachi min hakas ashi yanhig atzo shelo yargish afilo dvarim hamakisim avizu hi derech hatova." They should distance themselves from anger and cause themselves not to feel any reaction, even to things which. Sorry, I remember that before. So derech hatzedikim, and he continues. This is the way of the righteous. And Luvim ve'im on Olvim, that they accept humiliation but don't humiliate others. Cherpasam ve'inam ve'inam Moshivin, they're insulted and they don't respond. Moshivin osam yavos mechem v'yisurim, and they do this with love and rejoice in their sufferings. Someone insults them, so you know, Baruch Hashem, it should be a kapara. I needed some sort of punishment. Someone yelled at me. Okay. I accept it. I'm not saying it's easy to do, but the Rambam is saying that that's the ideal. And it's valeo v'kasim over, and it's on those that the verse says, vo'avav k'tseis hashemesh b'gvura so. That in those who love him are like the sun when it comes out in his strength. And Umar says that those who don't get angry are particularly beloved to God. The Gemara says in Source 20, "Imsachim Shosha Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ohavan." There are three people who Hakadosh Baruch Hu loves. Misha eino koes, misha eino mishdaker, misha eino mamed al midosav. Someone who doesn't get angry, someone who doesn't get drunk, and someone who is forgiving or isn't stubborn. But it's very hard. As you said from Yisrael Salanter, that it's more difficult to correct the character trait, particularly of anger, than even to accomplish other things. But I think if the Torah tells us that we're supposed to do it, so it is possible, and it comes with training, it comes through planning, it comes through being accustomed to not being so particular about things. And also recognizing that any situation that we're in, Hashem put us in that situation, and we're meant to learn from it. So instead of when we have someone who insults us or annoys us, so think, what can I learn from this, as opposed to needing to have the last word and needing to respond in kind. But it's definitely very, very difficult. That's why the Mishlei says in verse 21, Tov erech apayim, you are Moshe al Barucho milochet ir. And one who is slow to anger is better than a mighty man, and one who rules over his spirit is better than one who conquers a city.